wasn't that good. After all of that, I feel just a little bit anticlimactic here. We have been Margaret's driver for the last 2 days, and we've had a really good time. And feel so comfortable with you and listening to you talk and share your blessings that the Lord's given you through the years. What a joy. And I just want all of you to know how much I appreciate just being able to come and be a part of this time with you. And I've prayed that God would give me things that would help you in this matter of missions and giving to God and being a part of the program. And if you're not a part of it, I'd really like to challenge you to be a part of it and allow God to work in your hearts by faith. He worked in your heart by faith to save you, and now He wants to work in your heart by faith to help you to give to missions and help people like this do what they have done and continue to do, along with these younger missionaries who are here. It's such a good thing to just sit and talk with them. I'm going to ask you if you would, and you don't have to if you don't want to, but you can turn to Romans chapter 10. And my task tonight is just to sort of set some things up that I hope will help you in the morning and again tomorrow evening and help you to understand what this is all about. I thought about this. I've been a pastor for 40 years, and I am not a missionary, but I love missionaries. And our church does the Faith Promise program, and we have 36 missionary programs that we support, including Brother Fielder. And I want to challenge you tonight with something that God put on my heart in a couple of weeks ago, where the Apostle Paul said the following phrase, or the following verse. It's a very personal thing with Paul in my mind, when he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what, church? Saved." Paul's passion, his heartbeat, all that he was coming out of the religious background that he had been in, was that Israel might be saved. It was a burning passion in his heart. And what I want to ask you to think about tonight is, where did you hear the gospel for the first time? Who brought the truth to you? Could have been a Sunday school teacher, could have been a preacher like this in a service like this. Could have been a neighbor that you lived next door to. Could have been someone that you worked with. Someone who just had great concern for you. A Greyhound bus driver who worked with my father. Got concerned for my father's soul. Brought the preacher to our house. And we went to the little Baptist church there in Milford, Ohio. And we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time. And we heard God's word clearly, and we understood it for the first time. As a young man, I began to just wonder, is there a God? Where does God exist? Much like what we've heard tonight and seen tonight. And I can remember walking up the stairs to our home. I lived there in Cincinnati, and we had 17 steps. And I walked up those stairs one day as probably a 12 or a 13-year-old young man, not knowing God, not knowing Christ. And this is what I said out loud to God. "God, I don't know if you exist or not. I do not know if there's a heaven or not. But God, if there's a heaven, I'd like to know how to get there." And that was my simple prayer. And a Greyhound bus driver who worked with my father, who became very concerned for my father, brought the pastor of the church to our house, and we went to church that next Sunday. Now, what I want you to see with me here is that Paul's burden was that Israel might be saved. And this Greyhound bus driver, Jonathan Lee, had a burden that his co-worker would be saved and come to know Christ. And so they came to our house, invited us to church. And that Sunday morning, as invitation was being given, I watched my father walk down the aisle, and my stepmother, whom I didn't know was a child of God, walked over to me and said, and I had never heard these words from her mouth, "Howard, wouldn't you like to be saved?" And I said, "Yes," and down the aisle I went. As I got to the altar, Brother Rice met me. And we went over to this side and we got down together and he found Romans chapter 10. And he showed me verse number 13, where it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?" Now, when we look back at chapter number 10 in verse 1, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what?" I want you to think about that. Paul's desire was that they might be saved. And Brother Rice's desire was to show me how to be saved. Now think about this. Think about what we're seeing. And he takes me to Romans chapter 10, and I had never read this. And he showed me that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what, church? And that's what it's all about tonight. The reason these missionaries are here and the reason that they're doing what they're doing is they want people in their place where God has called them to go to be saved. And that's what this is all about tonight. And I'd like to ask you a series of questions if I could. I'd like to perhaps challenge you maybe just a little bit this evening and give you a little thought for things before you go to bed tonight. And I want to ask you a series of questions that I think are really important. And I want you to think about these questions. How will the rest of the world hear about Jesus Christ if you and I do nothing? It's a sobering question, isn't it? How will the rest of the world, if you think about this, ever hear and know about Jesus Christ if you and I do nothing? So we see these missionaries, we hear their testimonies, we understand what they're doing in these foreign lands, and we think about who they are and we pray for them. And we give to missions and we preach and we teach in our church. But what I want you to understand is if you and I do nothing other than what we're doing, they'll never hear. Here's another question that I want to share with you. Are some believers called to carry the gospel further or farther than others? And I think the answer to that is yes, they are. And I think we've seen a great exhibition of that last night and tonight, and we'll see that again tomorrow. God calls people, individuals, and He brings them out for a special calling in their lives to take the gospel around the world to places that He burdens their heart about, just like Paul's burden was, that his heart's desire, his burden, his passion was that Israel might be saved. Now think about that. Here's another question. Is every believer called to missions either by sending, giving, or going? And I think the answer to that is yes. I believe tonight that God would have each of us, all of us, to give to this matter of faith promise missions and to help the rest of the world to know about Jesus Christ. Here's another question. What is missing for those who don't have a heart for such a work? And I believe the answer is verse 1, and it's passion. It is passion. And to have a burning desire in your heart, a passionate care and want to and hunger to reach people that you don't even know. And so here we are watching this video tonight. And we're watching people whom you and I will never know or understand. And yet we have this dear lady, Margaret Stringer, who has a heartbeat for people and in a foreign missionary area, in a place that you and I would never bother to go, has a desire to see them hear and know about Jesus Christ. Won't that be a wonderful day when we reach those golden shores and she's there and we're there and she introduces us to them? What a wonderful thought when you think about all of this. Here's another question I'd like to ask you tonight. Can the world be saved apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ? And the answer is no. So we have a great obligation. And that's what this is all about. It's a huge undertaking. It's an undertaking that none of us can accomplish. But as we come together in churches like this and we make up our minds that we're going to be a part of what's happening, then we can be a part of the solution for the rest of the world. The solution is not what's going to happen on Tuesday. The solution is Jesus Christ in your life. The solution is the Word of God. The solution is the Holy Spirit of God in your heart and in your life, helping you and guiding you and directing you and showing you where what your little part in this whole world would be. And so then I'd like to show you just three or four things that I think are important tonight, and I promise to abide by my time. But I want you to see some words with me, and I have a couple of questions that I want to share with you this evening. And here's the first one. How can a person call if they've not believed in Him? And we look in verse 14, and this is what it says. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? I can't imagine flying in to that jungle area and having the strength to get out of that vehicle and talk to people who might kill me and eat me. I cannot imagine that. But the Scripture says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And the critical word is the word call. They must call upon Him. But if no one takes Him to them, they're not going to be able to call because they do not know with whom to call upon. There's another question here. How shall they believe in Him whom they have not, say it with me, heard? If you've never heard, how shall you believe? I said to God, God, I don't know if You exist or not. I don't know if heaven is real, and I don't know that it's there. I have no earthly idea how to get there, but if I could know, I would want to know so. And a Greyhound bus driver, a regular, everyday kind of guy who worked with my dad, came to our house, brought the preacher, and said, won't you come to church? And we finally got to the place, the house of God, and the preacher preached, and I heard the Word of God. And I heard that Jesus Christ loved me, and I heard and understood that He had paid my price for me, and that He identified with me as a sinner and a sinful person, and I was able to come to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice with me, again in verse 14, there's another phrase. So we see the word, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And we see, how shall they believe in Him in Him of whom they have not heard? And then we see this, and how shall they hear without a preacher? You could say a messenger. And here's a female messenger to a group of people who have never heard. And what I want you to try to understand with me this evening is that a person needs a messenger. They need a preacher. They need a pastor. They need a friend. They need someone who cares for them to be able to understand and know how to be saved. And then we get to verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be what? Sent. So we have the word call, and we have the word heard, and we have the word preacher. And now we have the word sent. How shall they preach except they be sent? And that's what this conference is all about tonight. That's why this church has done everything that they've done to this point. This is why we come together last night, and we come together tonight, and we'll come together again tomorrow, and we'll make special emphasis about missions and world evangelization, and we'll spend our time together, and we'll make a commitment to our Lord, and it is between us and Him, and we'll talk about that in the Sunday school hour in the morning. We'll try to understand what faith promise giving is all about. And then finally, the question is simply this: how will the world, and when I say the world, I mean the entire world, how will the world call or believe or hear without the Scriptures? I've had the privilege to be involved with the Bearing Precious Seed ministry for years and years and years. When I started my first church, the Bearing Precious Seed, a group of people put together New Testaments, and they came to our town, and we passed out 10,000 New Testaments. And recently, at the 40th anniversary of the church, I had the privilege to go back and preach, and some still had their New Testaments. And it was a joy to see those New Testaments and to understand it. And then we've gotten involved in what Brother Fielder is involved with Worldview Missions, and what a joy it has been to be a part of this, because that takes us on down through what we see here in these scriptures, where the Bible says in verse 17, so then faith cometh by what, church? Hearing. And hearing by the what, church? The Word of God. Do you understand how precious it is to have this book? Do you understand there are people in this world, they've never seen one line of this. They've never heard the name Jesus. They do not understand this. Their culture has nothing like we have. We Americans, we Westerners, as we learned last night, we come into this place and we have air conditioning and we have padded pews and we have the Word of God and we have wonderful music and we have wonderful food and we have lights and we have everything we want and we need. And there's a world that's never heard the name of Jesus yet. What a task. What a task. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What do you need to ask the Father for tonight? What do you need to invite him to do for you? And so let me challenge you this evening, as we bring all of this to a close. And let me just challenge you with some questions. Would you ask the Lord tonight and tomorrow, Lord, am I willing to go for you? Am I willing to go across the street to my neighbor? Am I willing to speak to my coworker? I thank God tonight for a Greyhound bus driver who knew the Lord. I thank God for him. Am I willing to speak to my relatives about the God that I know from this book? Am I willing to speak to the clerk at the store as I check out? Am I willing to give some of my money toward this missions endeavor here in this place? Am I willing to be a missionary myself? Am I willing to pray about His will concerning my life? And here's what I want us to understand. I'm going to ask you to stand and pray with me in a moment. I hold in my hand a brand new Bible. The one I've been preaching out of is just literally has fallen apart and I had to get a new one. And every time I get a new Bible, I thank the Lord for it. And every time I get a new Bible, I open up the cover and I fill it out for one of my grandchildren, because I want them to have the most precious thing in the world besides my soul and my salvation, and that's His Word. And this church is deeply involved in the matter of getting scriptures around the world. Brother Fielder was sharing with me that he's working in 7 different languages and 7 different projects and considering more. Church, I want to tell you tonight, it's the greatest endeavor you'll ever do to be a part of that. And here's the question tonight. Will I be a part of it? Yes, I'll be a part of it. All right, then what is my part? And I want to challenge us tonight to pray for that part. I want us to pray this evening in our own lives individually, not as a congregation, but as individual people who love the Lord and know the Lord and know His Word. What is it that I should be a part of? Where should I be committed to? How much should I be committed? Who is it that I'm supposed to speak to? Am I to be like that Greyhound bus driver? Think about that as we stand together this evening and ask the Lord's blessings on our time. Our Father, we want to thank You for the privilege, for the opportunity to be together tonight with God's people. To view what we've viewed tonight, to know what we know tonight. And my heart's desire tonight and prayer for this church is that they would be saved and do God's will. Heavenly Father, this evening, You know more about this church than anybody on this earth. And I'm just a guest here. And I want to pray and I want to ask that You would do something wonderful, not only tonight, but tomorrow. And Lord, in the days to come, would you challenge this church? Would you encourage their hearts and their lives together in this matter called world evangelization? They're doing a great part already. But I would pray tonight, Lord, that these questions would help them to see you more clearly, that they would have the desire that Paul had for the rest of the world and continue to do what they do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Fielder.